Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And good Saturday morning to you. And boy, I tell you, if you're living along the Gulf Coast right now, a very welcome change in the weather when you step outside this morning. We go from hurricanes and tropical storms to cold fronts. We got a coastal marine forecast for you. Not too bad. A little breezy out there today. We'll get to that in a moment. Well, the recent storm surge has forced a change in Alabama's extended red snapper season last weekend, and we'll tell you how they're handling that beginning today, as a matter of fact. Having live reports, they'll be coming in from our field reporters. I'm happy to tell you we have a first-hand report from my trip with Captain Mike Gallo to the Biloxi Marsh that was followed by two quick and easy delicious recipes. You'll see all of that coming up on an episode of Bayou Wild TV. And as so long as there are alligators, there will be outlaws. One of the more popular species that people violate, and there's a lot of reasons for it. Not going to go into it this morning. But we have an Alabama man and three Louisiana accomplices. We call them our Team Bad Boys, cited with several alligator violations. We'll tell you their story a little bit later on. We're also joined this morning by a guest co-host. You may recall he was here last year to talk about his Louisiana Outdoor Writer Association Fish of the Year Award. This year he's here with us. He's going to recap his teal season, tell us about his latest fishing experts, whatever you want to call them, experiences, and also the prospects for our youth lottery dove hunt in Fairhope, Alabama. We were picked to participate in that this afternoon. We got a great-looking Saturday afternoon for that, too. Here he is, another sportsman whose initials are DD, Drew Dubuque. Drew, good morning. Let's turn your microphone on. Hey, you sound better now.
Good morning.
Hey. Well, tell us, how was teal season? Just wrapped it up. Not as good as it was last year, was it?
No, we saw a bunch, but I think we squeezed out six.
Yeah. What do you think was the reason for it this year?
I think most of them didn't move down all the way yet. I mean, we saw some of them more like in the Point Lahash area. Mm-hmm. And then we were seeing them, but they wouldn't fly low enough to shoot them.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a lot of high water, too, and all the storm surges kind of scattered them. Would have been nice if we'd have had this weather now during the teal season, huh?
Yeah, probably so, because it wasn't really that cold during it.
You looking for the big season to come around?
Yep, I'm very excited about it.
Oh, good deal. Now, where you been fishing lately? I know you've been doing a lot of nighttime pier fishing and doing pretty good.
Yeah, we've been fishing. We've been bass fishing, fishing off the pier, fixing the pier.
You manage to go to school a little bit, too, doing that?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of it. You got to get through that. But there's lots of time. It's a good time of the year, isn't it? Fall season. We're starting to change seasons. Gets a little cooler. Hunting season starts coming in. What else are you going to be hunting? We're going dove hunting this afternoon. What do you tell people about dove hunting?
They're quick.
Yeah, very quick. What are you going to be shooting? What kind of gun and what kind of shell?
20 gauge.
What number shot do you like to use? About a 7.5 or 8, something like that? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, good. Well, hopefully they'll fly for us this afternoon. We were very lucky to get picked, you know, for that Alabama hunt. You know, a lot of Alabama people don't like Louisiana coming over there, but we're going to go over there and try to lighten up some of that dove. All right, that's my great grandnephew, Drew Dubuque, And he's been with us before. If you want to communicate with him, send him a text this morning. You can text us at 504-260-1870. Y'all know the drill. Just shoot us a text. Tell us who you are, where you are, what you got going on your Saturday morning. Here's what it looks like if you're headed out today. There is a small craft advisory up because it's kind of breezy. I would imagine this is going to be pulled down sometime during the weekend. But for today, offshore, you're looking at east winds 15 to 20 knots, 3 to 5-foot seas. Inside waters will be, well, those same winds, east 15 to 20 with a moderate chop. Tomorrow, 15 to 20 knots out of the east again. Seas are going to subside, according to the forecast, a little bit tomorrow down to 5 foot. Southeast winds on the inside, 10 to 15 and a light chop. Tide range just under a foot is the average tide range, and that Mississippi River level is at 4.2 and holding steady, and that makes a lot of people happy. All right, coming back after this, we'll get to some of your text messages, and we got a fishing report coming up with Robbie Campo from Shell Beach. Stand by. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque and Drew Dubuque right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. Drew Dubuque, one of our co-hosts this morning. We're going to be dove hunting a little bit later on. Drew, I'll tell you what, these dogs we got in here with us, they're kind of useless this morning. Let me look at Gracie. She's over there on the couch, all laid out. We got Smokey's been wiped out since late. She went hunting yesterday, though. She deserved it. Well, that's what you get, huh?
Yep.
All right, well, if you want to text us a message, you can text Drew and me at 504-260-1870. Let's talk to Robbie Campo. We need to get a fishing report from the Shell Beach area. Been a little breezy down there, but, Robbie, I understand the fishing has been cooperative. If you can get to them and find some good, clean water. We had a really good trip up at the Biloxi Marsh a couple days ago. What's been happening closer to the marina?
Well, I'll tell you, Don. Well, first of all, good morning, Don. Good morning, Drew. What's been going on down here? You're right. We was catching a lot of fish right here by the fort and the ship channel, up by Lena Lagoon, up the ship channel. Had a few good reports up by the wall in Chalmette, this last week. But since this front has come through, yesterday was really, really tough, man. The wind was blowing out of the north yesterday, probably, 25 plus. It made fishing conditions really, really tough yesterday. And this morning I looked at the buoy that he had, Shell Beach, and it was 19 gusting to 22 out the, northeast again. So I tell you, if today is your day to go fishing, I'd tuck back up in that Biloxi Marsh, maybe somewhere behind Engineers, Half Moon, Stump Lagoon, somewhere back there, Pete's Lagoon, maybe going up towards Brick, I think today's going to be a day where anything that bites the line is going to be good enough, instead of just targeting one species. Don, it's just, these windy conditions, man, it just makes fishing, casting really tough. Not the fishing tough, it just makes the casting really tough. Now, we got the wind is blowing out of the east, or east-northeast, the water is up a little bit, so you don't have to worry about getting stuck this morning. It's not like you got a hard drive in northwester. When it dries all the water out, so you're gonna have some water. So and it'll be wind driven more than likely than tide, because tidal range is right under a foot. But I think the water's still gonna make it into the grass today. On the Hopedale side, over up in that Lake Amita area, that Rosita Lagoon, Grand Lagoon, that area's been starting to turn on. It's been getting pretty hot back there. Lake Robin, East Bayou. They caught some fish back there this week, so I really believe that if today is your day to fish and you come on down here and you could you get back tucked up in that marsh, you could probably put something together today. Tell you, Don, a lot of throwbacks. Oh my God, this week here I've never seen the throwbacks. Like, man, it's like every fourth fish or fifth fish you get to keep. But, man, they tell me, the guy that was coming in was just saying, man, we caught, we burned through the bait. We had them start on plastics, the matrix shads. Been a really, really good bait this week. But he said, man, we're just blowing it up with 11.5-inch fish. He said, well, we've got a really good crop of fish in. It's just undersized. So, good. It's a good thing they didn't drop it to 15 and 13.5 inches, because it wouldn't have been too many trout coming across the table, I promise you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So 12 and enough is hard to do right now. So, to put something together. And look, these guys didn't limit out everybody didn't limit out this week. They put 35, 40 fish in the boat. With three guys in a boat, you really did something. You know what I mean? But the throwbacks is just unreal. I mean, we got a really good crop of fish, and that's encouraging. That's good to see because, you know, we hadn't had that in a couple of years. So now we got this good crop of fish. So maybe a couple of months these fish will make that 12-inch mark, you know. We got live bait. Hook the left at the bridge. Come on down and see us. We're gonna get you parked, get you in the water, get you parked, and get you on your way, and hopefully put you on some fish.
You know, Robbie, this is the time of year where people like to get out and get some fillets and have them a nice little fish fry in the outdoors because the weather's so nice. You know, and we had the same experience fishing on the top end of that Biloxi Marsh a couple days ago. We probably caught 50 trout to keep 20, but what we did get on was a pretty good little white trout bite. Now, white trout, people got to remember, you don't have any size limits. You don't have any creel limits. So if you need a bunch of meat, you get into those white trout, don't leave them. Stay on them and fill up an ice box.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you,
by the dam, down by the dam here in Hopedale, plenty white trout, and I've been trawling for the last few days, so I know I've been on a boat. So I'm telling you, I know I've caught them in a trawl. But Donna, I watch these people fishing over there, and they just whacking them and stacking them over there by the dam. They're catching white trout. They just putting them in a boat. So that's something else to think about. If you want some white trout, you just go get over there by that dam down there by Hopedale, and you could just meat run it all you want. They're as thick as you want to see them.
That's good news. Well, Robbie, thanks for the report. As always, my friend, we'll catch up with you again next week, and hopefully we'll have when this wind dies down, going to be a lot of good fishing days next week if people got some time off.
Yeah, I hope so. So, all right, Don, next Saturday.
Okay, brother.
Give you another report. Talk to you later, buddy.
Yes, there he goes, Robbie Campo down at Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this break. We're going to check in with another one of our field reporters. We're going to talk to Jeff Brule, who's got some interesting news from Venice, the Atchafalaya Basin, the North Shore Rivers and Lakes. It's our freshwater report, and it's up next on The Outdoors with Drew Dubuque and Don Dubuque right here on the network show you hear every Saturday morning. Right back. That, of course, is theme song for Jeff Brule, who provides us bass and freshwater fishing reports each week, along with Berkley, a division of Pure Fishing. You know, they got the Berkley line of all those gulp baits, whether you're fishing sockeye, white perch, bass, inshore, offshore saltwater. They've got lines of all kinds, whether you use monofilament, braid, or fluorocarbon, plus all those accessories, everything you need to enjoy your fishing trip and do it efficiently. If it's for fishing, Berkley has it, a division of Pure Fishing. Jeff Brule joins us this morning, and Jeff, Drew Dubuque is with us this morning. He's got a bass report he wants to share with you. Last weekend, he had a nice catch over there in the Lake Catherine area. Drew, tell Jeff what y'all were doing and what you caught him on.
We were fishing the canals off of Lake Catherine. We were fishing with spinner blades and just throwing them in the canal up against the bank. We caught 10. We caught one big 5-pounder bass, and then the rest were small bass.
5 pounds, Jeff.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive coming.
Yeah, they got mamas around with all them little fish. You always got to pick through the little ones. I wanted to ask Drew if he catches any off his dock over there, because I've been out in that lake on those docks and caught some nice fish, bass, off those docks clipping the piling. So he never does that for bass. He needs to try that.
I threw my cast net one time and caught a bass in it.
Yeah, you caught one striped bass that kind of made that dock famous,
big one,
too,
huh?
That number six. He had a number six all-time state record. I don't know if he'll be able to top that, but he has a lot of fun on that dock for sure. Well, Jeff, tell us, start off, I guess, with the Pearl River. We get questions every week. People want to know, when's the Pearl going to get right? What's going on now? We've got the storms passed. Weather's changed a little bit. Things are different. Fall is here.
Yeah, the Pearl's about 9 foot. It's fallen. So starting this week, it'll be very good. It gets good when the drains start draining and the water gets below 10 feet. But I took off to Bayou Liberty this week and was looking for some trout and then a few bass. And we made it down to Car Drive, and we found the bass popping shrimp and the trout popping shrimp. And we used to own Berkley Rattling Shrimp and Voodoo Magic Shrimp, and we did really well with those. We actually caught no telling how many fish, a lot of small fish, a lot of small trout, a lot of small bass. But just without a cart, just kind of swimming those shrimp along, we did very well. But back in the March, we saw tons of bass. So they survived the storms, you know, 2 inches to 2 pounds, just all up and down the bank. When you got in that clear water, you could see them everywhere. Plus, I got reports from the chef area in the marsh and the Mr. Go that they're catching fish along the rocks, and even got some good reports over on the North Shore rivers. So for the rivers, jigs and Texas rigs and spinner baits are good. And if you go out in the marsh, just a spinner bait, and especially those shrimp baits, because those fish are keen on shrimp right now because they're everywhere.
What color were y'all using, Drew?
For spinner blades?
Yeah, when you caught the bass.
We were fishing with black baits with yellow tails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the same report Jeff had with the marsh with the spinner baits. Jeff, what about the basin? Man, we have just not really hadn't come into its own yet this spring or this fall. What's the deal going on over there?
Oh, just a storm surge. I finally did get a report over there. One of my buddies went down to Bayou Black. Probably the worst thing is he didn't find a lot of grass. He believes the grass was pretty much wiped out with the tidal surges. And that's where you fish hide, so you have to kind of change your tactics if you go down that way, cover more water. But he did catch about 25 fish in the Bayou Black area, so that's the good news, is that probably the bass did survive, but some of the cover in the water got killed, and it's just going to make the fish move around more and not isolate them, say, a bend or a curve that's loaded with grass beds. So you're going to have to change your tactics and maybe do some more suspending baits and moving baits to find your fish over there.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about Venice? River's down, weather's changing. I understand you got some exciting information from what's going on downriver.
Yeah, I had a buddy call me yesterday. He said they've been down there for 2 days and limited out in about 2 hours each day with bass, and it's right around the launches, you know, the jump area, all those bayous and canals, Baptiste Galette. He said they're finding fish, bass everywhere. Even caught a couple over three. You know, up there, they're not quite as big as they are downriver, but you can catch a lot of fish. But he said the good news was they're catching fish just about everywhere they stopped. So the river's down, the river's green, the conditions are right. So I'm hoping, you know, more anglers go and give me reports. And I also got reports from Delacroix and Des Almonds, and it's spinnerbait time over there, too. So that's a good choice for Drew to throw a spinnerbait this time of year without water being about 70 degrees.
Great news. Jeff, for a tip this week, a lot of people are going to braid. They just like the stuff. But on your leader, you want to go with a fluorocarbon or a monofilament, but you got to attach it to the braid. Give us some suggestions on tying leaders on.
Yeah, you got to learn some of these knots that they have out there. There's FG, Double Uni, Alberto, GT, all those are very good knots and pretty easy to tie. I usually put about a three-piece fluorocarbon, you know, Berkeley 100% fluorocarbon on my braid when I fish in clear water. So I just use that knot, and that way it works well to give you a little bit of invisibility on your bait. But another thing to remember on your fluorocarbon, don't use a polymer knot to put on your hook because it tends to break more than any of the other knots. So avoid the polymer knot on your hook, but use like a Double Uni or Alberto to attach the leader, and you'll get a lot more bites that way. And you know, I throw the shrimp without a cork, and I just kind of read them along and jerk them and use a fluorocarbon leader, and we get tons of bites doing that.
Good stuff. Jeff, we got some tournaments in the near future. I think we got one tomorrow.
Yeah, Bass Assassins and Bayou Lacombe, and then Lunkers and Liars on October 25th on the East Pearl. So tournaments are still going strong. A lot of the local guys are still fishing tournaments this time of year, and it can be fun. You can go out there and catch a lot of fish when you find them. They concentrated on the bait, so you got to hunt the bait, and usually when you find the bait, you'll find the fish because they're feeding on shad and shrimp migrating back out into Lake Pontchartrain, so that's what you need to look for this time of year.
Jeff, how about a word before you go about white perch fishing? We're getting a little bit of change in the water temperatures lower. What can people look forward to as we head into even cooler temperatures?
They'll start moving shallow again. Usually this time of year, you can go they're kind of singled out fish. You got to kind of move a little bit. You will find some groups around some treetops. Usually they're not your bigger size fish. But you know, probably about the 8 to 10-foot range, you want to fish about that deep. And as the water cools up, the next month or so, they will come shallow. And then about January, they move back out deep and school back up. But next report, I'll try to search out some guys, see if I can get a few Sockelet reports for the guys down in the basin and maybe some in this area.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thank you for the report as always, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Have a great weekend. That's Jeff Brule. All right, coming back after this, some of you are sending us some text messages at 504-260-1870. Some are coming in for Drew. Drew will get back and read some of these text messages from our audience. Got more fishing reports, bad boys of the outdoors, all that stuff you and I love to talk about each and every Saturday morning, and we do it right here on the Don and Drew Dubuque Outdoor Show. All right, we get text messages in from you, our listeners. It comes in real time right here at the studio. You can simply dial us at 504-260-1870. And, Drew, let's see what we got here first. This is Justin in the Refuge. You know where Gentilly is?
I think so.
It's in New Orleans. It's actually a kind of a community subdivision, and it's right before you get out to New Orleans East. And Justin lives there, and he calls it his refuge because he watches the wildlife. And he says the day's beautiful, but no ibis in the sky. Speaking of ibis, boy, I saw a ton of them out at Stella Plantation. We were actually cleaning up some from a pheasant tower hunt there yesterday, and there was a lot of ibis there. Anyway, he watched Bayou Wild TV this morning on the early run. It was heartwarming with beautiful photography. Thank you, Justin. And we got another Justin. Drew, talk about this guy. What's he telling us?
Justin, the duck guy with Bayou Region Shooters. Good luck, dove hunting, Drew. I'm getting all of my materials and gun ready, putting on a concealed carry class today.
Yeah, Justin's a concealed carry instructor. All right, here's another one. Good morning, Mr. Don. Great to hear Drew on the show. He reminds me of myself 40 years ago. My grandfather was a great teacher. My grandfather was Fred Fredericks, and this is the guy known as the River Rat. All right, when we come back, Drew, you pick it up from there. We're going to take a quick 10-second pause for our stations to identify, and we're back with more of your text messages. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don and Drew, Radio Network. All right, Drew, let's pick it up right here. What's the next text message for us?
Hey, Drew, Miss Janice, here you are, the most awesome radio co-host. So if you had to pick hunting or fishing, what would it be, and what is your most favorite? Probably hunting. I like hunting a little bit more than fishing.
And which species do you like to hunt more than another? I know that's a tough question when you got to decide.
Gray ducks. I like
gray ducks would be number one, huh? Yeah, I got to tell you, that's nice when those grays drop out of that sky. All right, here's another one. Good morning, Don. This is Perry from Galliano. He went out of La Rose yesterday. The water was very high, but he managed a limit by 9:30 on the Swamp Craw Rattle Trap. The bass was super hungry. Yeah, I think bass is going to be the ticket this weekend if you're going fishing, because generally you can find some areas out of that stiff wind, too. All right, here you go, Drew. Here's another one.
Good morning, Don and Drew, from the old snake doctor. It's good to hear, Drew. It's doing well fishing with his fishing and hunting. I met Drew at the LOWA Award.
I know it's kind of hard to follow. There we go.
We were winning of the Fish of the Year Award. He with the big striper and I with the white bass. Good luck on the dove hunt today.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember the old snake doctor, but he's a fly fisherman, and he won the fly fishing category the same year you won the rod and reel category. And there's a good morning from the Mad Trucker. All right, if you'd like to get your messages in, simply text us. That is 504-260-1870. All right, we're going to be hunting doves in Alabama this afternoon. I tell you what, I'm really excited about going out there, and hopefully the birds will fly for us and we'll have a good time. I'm going to pick up my granddaughter. Isabel will be her first hunt, and he's a veteran at 10 years old. This guy's done it all. But anyway, we'll be out there. And speaking of Alabama, I've been telling you for weeks now, Alabama determined that they had underfished their red snapper quota, so they had some extra days. Unfortunately, they set those extra days last weekend when it was just incredibly windy. You had a storm in the Gulf, and very few red snapper, if any, were caught. Well, what they're doing now is they're going to change it to where you can fish weekends. Beginning today, you can actually fish red snapper in Alabama waters each weekend. That will be Saturdays beginning at 12:01 a.m. through midnight on Sunday, and they'll keep those weekends for red snapper open until the private angler red snapper quota has been caught. Scott Bannon, who is with the Marine Resources Division, said they're committed to providing the anglers access to those remaining snapper quota and understand that weather, school, and other activities does impact the potential. Therefore, they're announcing that the open weekend harvest until the quota's met or anticipated to be met might be the first weekend. It could end this weekend, or it could take several weekends. But until they're caught, they're fair game to get out and fish those red snapper in Alabama. All right, coming back after this, we got more fishing reports ahead. We'll get back to some more of your texts. If you'd like to send us one, it's 504-260-1870. Special guest co-host with us this morning, Drew Dubuque. We're back right after this. All right, welcome back in. We're joined this morning with a co-host, Drew Dubuque, my nephew, and we're going to be headed over to Alabama right after the show. We got an afternoon dove hunt. They put on lottery hunts in Alabama. I can tell you, the state is really on the ball with that. They offer duck and deer and dove and all kinds of hunts to the public, and they're all free of charge. All you need to do is apply for it and have your permits and your licenses, and you're allowed to go out there. Hopefully we'll get some good reports. Drew, I see the backstrap stacker. He's one of our listeners over in Alabama. He says, good morning, Drew and Don. Hope you have a good time over here shooting doves. The birds were flying good on Thursday. Well, let's hope they fly in good on Saturday, too. Here's one says, good morning, Don. This is Joe, and I would like to know if the General of Fort Polk is going to let the deer hunters on Halloween weekend, or if he's going to close like always. Thank you. I could not tell you that. What the Fort Polk is actually has some, I don't know if he's talking about the Pison Ridge Wildlife Management Area or actually on the fort. But Halloween is a youth hunting day, Drew, where, you know, we're talking about going because you get to, to hunt as a youth. And I'm a veteran, so they got a special day for us set aside on Halloween weekend, and it's a full moon. Going to kind of be all of maybe the stars and the moon align. Might be a good day to get out and deer hunt, huh?
Yeah, it might.
What do you think about this? They had a situation where you might have heard about it, where they were talking about changing the speckled trout limits and sizes. And they were talking about going from the 12-inch size, which, you know, you measure them. You got to be 12 inches to keep them, and you can keep 25, to maybe raising that size up to 13, 13 and a half, maybe even 14 or 15, and then cutting back on how many you can keep. Judging from what you've seen where you go fishing over the last couple of years, are you happy that we're staying at 12 and 25, or do you think they need to cut the limit or extend the size? What's your opinion?
I think it's fine staying at 12.
You like 12 inches,
yeah,
and
like
25?
12 inches.
A lot of people agree with you there. All right, let's see. We got some more texts coming in. Somebody, this is somebody from Alabama, says they're loving the kid. I guess that kid is you, huh? Is that you?
Yep.
All right, he's also known as the kid now. Drew the kid. That'd be a nickname for him. All right, we got some more fishing reports. Also, you know, something else, Drew, that the Wildlife and Fisheries put out. Imagine you're out hunting deer, and all of a sudden this elk comes walking up on you, you know, and you wonder, what would you do? Would you shoot it? Or is elk legal in Louisiana?
I don't know. What would I do?
Well, here's the situation. You know, they have a lot of places that have these high fences, and they bring exotic game like elk and axis deer and fallow deer that don't normally live in Louisiana. They're not native, and you can go in those enclosures and hunt them. And a lot of them, they say they're pens, but they're thousands of acres, so it's not as easy as you would think. Well, we had all these storms, and there was a lot of trees down, so it damaged the fences, and some of these animals escaped into the swamps and woods. So you may happen to see one of these, and the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is telling hunters, be aware if any of these escaped animals and wander onto your lease, onto public areas, they're perfectly legal to bag them. So if you happen to see one of those, take advantage of it and get you a big animal. All right, here we go. Let's see, this is, let's see, read that one. It's addressed to Mr. Drew. Go ahead.
Mr. Drew, as you know, your uncle isn't getting any younger, and at some point he'll get false teeth, and then they'll get in his way to talk. You're going to take over this show when this happens, LOL, just kidding.
Absolutely
love this show and couldn't imagine it wing.
With, and, that's supposed to be with. He spelled it wrong.
With anyone else.
Well, my teeth are still in, so for now we're good, I think, Drew. Here's another text, though. This is what the guy I went hunting with. He has Latte, which is Smokey's sister, Dean. And he says, good luck, Drew, sounding great on the radio. Shoot in front of those doves and come bird hunting with Latte and Smokey. Yeah, you need to come do that. We're going to hunt some quail this year, you know, if you can get out of school. All right, we come back after this break. We're going to talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter. You ever been to Grand Isle, Drew?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure? I have to think. I think you have been to Grand Isle. I know you've been to Fushan, huh?
Yeah, I've been to Fushan.
Well, that's right up the road. We're going to get some reports on Grand Isle and Fushan from Captain Darryl Carpenter right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don and Drew Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, Drew, I got a text in here from coming in from the South Mississippi Kayak Fishing Club. They got a little event going on there. There's some few of the salty chicks are participating in a fish out in Pass Christian. Great listening on the drive over. That's from one of the salty chicks herself, Robin Portalon. Thank you for listening, Robin. All right, let's talk to Darryl Carpenter, get a fishing report from the Grand Isle Fushan area, find out what's happening there. Captain Darryl, what's happening down in Grand Isle during these little cooler weather we've been waiting so long for and the absence of storms in the Gulf, although still kind of breezy out there?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what we're, you know, that's kind of what we're struggling with right now is everything else looks good, but you know, last night, I think that wind blew pretty much 30 miles an hour all night long. I mean, everything around the house was rattling. It's supposed to calm down a little bit today, Don. You know, pre-wind, I can tell you everything was going fairly well. It looks like not only are we well into that wintertime transition, but it looks like those fish may have kind of like skipped that mid-range and went way far north. The speckled trout around Grand Isle has been a little bit hit and miss and hard, but the further north you go, the more trout you run into. My guys coming out of Lafitte that come in to help me, they're coming just a little ways down and catching a whole lot of speckled trout. You're having to pick through the small ones, which you always have to do when you're marsh fishing. Offshore, man, I'm telling you, we're starting to see some stuff. I hadn't heard a whole lot. The storms have kept the shrimp boats out of the Gulf so much that it looks like what was going to be a banner shrimp boat season in the Gulf has kind of, you know, waned off and kind of petered out because the boats just can't stay out there with all the storms we've been having. But I will tell you the you know, word I'm getting is the deep water tuna bite has been good when people are able to get out, and I've seen some wahoo starting to come in. So that looks like that might start early this year. Waters remain remarkably clear during all these wind events. Of course, this thing here is going to push, you know, this front's going to push them low, push the water levels low. But, you know, the redfish have been our steady so far. Redfish are holding tight to the grass and sometimes still traveling in packs, and they've been active the last week or so.
Well, it sounds good. We just got to get that wind to slow down just a little bit. Darryl, you mentioned the shrimp boat season. Explain that, because I'm sure people are hearing, what do you mean shrimp boat season? That is an important integral part of catching tuna during the month of October and in the fall in the Gulf of Mexico. Explain why the absence of shrimp boats would actually be a negative impact on tuna fishing.
Well, my version of it is, Don, is about this time of the year you start getting that migration out with those mullets and everything. They start migrating out to the Gulf. The tuna are pre-programmed, and nature tells them to come in close because they want to intersect those mullets. When that happens, they run into the shrimp boats that are pulling the shell for the big ruby reds and so forth. It's a free buffet. I mean, the stuff that comes out, you know, the bycatch and stuff over shore, plus the stuff that comes out through the net that's somewhat injured, those tuna are there, and they eat everything coming out the nets. And, you know, several years ago, fishermen figured that out, and they get in behind the shrimp boats, and they start doing the chumming, and when you hit the right boat in the right location, you'll get a whole school of, you know, 200-plus pound yellowfin. And it's close. You know, you don't have to burn a whole lot of fuel to get there. And it can be very productive. Like I said, if you hit the right, it's right place and right time. You hit the right boat. But a lot of times it takes those boats to actually be out there working for a while to gather those tuna behind them. And that's what's hurting this year is the boats just haven't been able to work to keep a school of fish on them.
Darryl, you mentioned the trout have really moved far into the north, in interior marsh. Give us some spots that typically turn on when we get this, you know, this scenario happens every year. The fall, water temperature drops, birds start gathering, baits are alive in there. Some of the places that you might want to check out for a bite on trout. And then redfish, of course, will be there too.
Well, right now, Don, the reports I'm getting from the multiple guides that work with, you know, with and for me, is the numbers are still up in way up north in the Lafitte area. I mean, I'm hearing good catches out of Little Lake, out of Bayou DuPont area. You know, the trout are that far north, and they're telling me up there every time they pop the cork, there's shrimp jumping everywhere. You know, we're still waiting for that mass migration of the white trout, which hasn't happened yet this year. And again, it could be because of all the storms and the water has stayed so high. Maybe this cold front will help to trigger it if it pushes some of this water out of here. But, you know, so those trout bites have been way up north. You got to look for an area that's got grass. You got to go far enough north that you get into brackish water to where you're looking for some grass growing, because the reports I'm getting is the numbers are in the grass beds right now chasing the trout. So, you know, that's been way up there. Now, the redfish have started showing up really good. You know, we're doing a lot of red fishing right now. And, you know, 2 weeks ago we were catching 30, 40 trout mixed in with it working the banks. We're not seeing that now. It looks like those fish have moved further inland. So, you know, we're going to have to start running farther north to try to find them.
Got it. Thanks for the report, Captain Darrell. We appreciate it, my friend. If somebody wants to get a hold of you and book a trip down there with you and some of your guides, tell them how to do it.
Well, they can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, RealScreamers.com. When we have time, we do the social media stuff, the Facebook and so forth. Or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
Sounds good, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Don.
All right, Captain Darrell Carpenter. All right, we get some more text messages. We'll get to those coming in after the top of the hour. We're also going to check in with Captain Kirk Stansel. You know, our friends over in southwest Louisiana got a double hit with back-to-back storms, a lot of devastation over there. But he told me they were getting ready to get back up and get to fishing, and we'll get a report on some of the areas that you might want to stay away from and some of the one you might want to go to in southwest Louisiana. Also, born on the bayou, Mike Gallo, we had a fishing trip together this week. We'll tell you about that. Brendan Bayard's got your paddler's report, and Ryan Lambert covers down in the tip of the boot for you. Plus, we got Drew Dubuque, a special co-host. If you want to text him a message or question, 504-260-1870, and we're back with our number two right after this. And welcome into our number two. Got a special guest co-host with us this morning, Drew Dubuque. Well, you got my ratings up. You know that? You see all these people texting you, Ralphie, yep, and Joni and Joshua and the Irish CA, man. I don't usually get this many people texting. I got to get you on more often.
Yep.
All right, let's talk to Captain Kirk Stansel with the Hackberry Rod and Gun. Our neighbors out in southwest Louisiana really hard hit with back-to-back storms this year, but always ready to bounce back. Kirk, give us an update, my friend, on what's happening over there at Hackberry Rod and Gun and some of the areas over there. Things kind of getting back to normal and opening up, as normal as can be, given the circumstances.
I was going to say it's far from normal, but we're open back up. We started the day before yesterday. Of course, we had started, had opened for 3 days before Delta came. And we had to shut back down, and we caught the fire out of fish those 3 days. And then Thursday when we fished, it was off the chart good. And then this front came through. We had to cancel yesterday. It was going 35 and down here, so. We got a lodge full of folks going out this morning. We'll see what happens. I know that we have a lot of fresh water running off on us now.
Well, as usual, when these storms come, the fishing generally improves greatly when it comes, because it brings in clean, salty water. It brings in bait, stimulates things. Plus, we got drops in temperatures now. We're really officially in the fall. It's a good time to be out there, and glad to hear you guys are up and running. Are there any closures or precautions or damage to infrastructure that people heading that way really need to be aware of that might be a problem for them?
Well, right now, they're supposedly, there's mandates that the lake is closed to recreational fishermen. Of course, you know, us being a charter service, we're considered commercial fishermen, and they're allowing commercial, you know, the shrimpers and crabbers and drum fishermen and the guides to access the lake. But supposedly here in the next couple of days, they're supposed to lift that mandate and allow people on the lake. But I know guys that have been going and haven't had any issues, with anyone trying to run them off or anything.
All right, sounds good. And, Kirk, I would imagine you're going to start to see some ducks, if not already, coming in with these frontal systems that are moving.
We should. Golly, the water's super high in the marshes. Of course, Don, we didn't get any storm surge with, we had the three storms. Everybody forgets about Beta, the tropical storm that dumped a bunch of rain on us. And so in 6 weeks, we had three storms, but we never got storm surge on this side of the lake from either one of the storms. In fact, for Delta, the last one, the water started coming up. It got up to about 8 feet at the pass. Then it dropped into the negatives on the backside. And the lake dropped 4 feet.
A lot to be said for being on the west side of that storm, for sure.
Yeah, there really is, yeah.
I'm glad you guys are back up and running. As far as your duck blinds, were they damaged? Do you have to start from scratch and rebuild all your blinds?
Yeah, we have 19 blinds. We've gone out and looked at them. There's one that's missing. All the others are, I'd say half of them are in decent shape. The other half are beat up pretty bad. It's going to take a little work, but we'll have it up and going by the time duck season gets here.
That sounds good. Glad to hear it, Kirk. Everybody over this way has been thinking about you guys, and, I'm glad you're back up and running, got a lodge full of customers, and headed back to that thing that we call normal at some point this fall, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll get there sooner, sooner than later, I'll promise you. We're up and ready.
And I'm pretty sure, now, you never can tell because this is 2020, but I'm pretty sure we're past all of the tropical storms and depressions for this year.
I sure hope so. I've had enough.
All right. Yeah. Tell us how they can reach you, Kirk. Phone number and website. Okay. They need to get a hold of you.
All right. Toll-free number. It's 888-762-3391. Website, Hackberry Rod and Gun, spell out and.com.
All and sounds
we
good.
We don't have our dock camera right now, but we'll have it back up pretty soon.
We'll be looking for it. Thank you, Kirk.
All right, have a
great weekend.
You bet.
We'll catch up with you next time. Kirk Stansel, one of the Stansel boys out at Hackberry Rod and Gun. Yeah, they go out, we call him Captain Kirk, named after a Star Trek character. All right, we come back after this. Captain Mike Gallo, I had a fishing trip. Drew, let me ask you something. Did this ever happen to you? You ever go to set the hook on a fish and just pop the line and you had a cork on it and he swims off with your cork? You had that happen?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I had it happen the other day, but the cork never materialized. But I think Mike went the next day. Maybe he found it. We'll find out right after this. You like that music, Drew?
Yep.
He's rocking out, folks. You ought to see him go here. All right, that's our intro for Captain Mike Gallo. His reports each week are brought to you by CETO. You know them. They're AAA on the water is another name for them, and that's because they give you peace of mind, fuel drop-offs, tow you in 24/7 from wherever you're stuck, jump-start you for electrical problems. They will get you back to dock whenever you need. That's $179. That's for a whole year, and it is renewable. If you want to sign up, call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or if you like to do it online, that's easy enough, cto.com. All the details, and get you registered and get your policy in effect. All right, let's talk to Captain Mike. Mike, I'm still wondering about where that redfish went that broke my line and stole your cork. Did you go back the next day, and did you locate it when you went out in that same area, if you did?
I did go back to that exact same spot. We caught two fish out of that little pocket, but that cork was nowhere to be seen.
He's got that on his wall somewhere. That redfish is using that for a souvenir. That's his trophy.
He let me go. I was too small.
Was it kind of the same scenario? You caught some trout before you moved into the marsh and then caught the reds, or were you strictly hunting the reds?
I was strictly hunting the reds. And it was a little bit slower. I finished the day one shy of my limit. And, we went for an hour and a half and had 60% of our limit. So it seemed to be a little bit slower paced.
Well, Mike, what else can you tell us about some of the other areas? I noticed something I haven't seen in quite a while this week. I saw shrimp boats in Lake Pontchartrain. Now, what does that tell you? If somebody's going to get the gas and pay for it and the time invested in dragging a net through Lake Pontchartrain, it ain't because there's no shrimp there. And if there's shrimp there, that means there's got to be fish. What are you hearing from the bridges and areas around Lake Pontchartrain?
Well, yesterday, Don, we had two boats go out, and obviously we both stayed close to the North Shore. I went into the Lakeshore Estates area and didn't catch anything. I tried two spots for about 15 or 20 minutes each spot. I didn't do anything. I moved over to the trestle. I got between the Highway 11 bridge and the trestle. Beautiful green water. We ended up fishing 45 minutes, but that's because we caught a jackfish that took us 30 minutes to catch. 24-pound jackfish. Yeah, I was amazed it didn't get up in the bridge and break us off, but my customers were happy to catch a nice big fish. Anyway, we didn't have anything that we wanted, so we ended up leaving. The second boat that was with me, he was closer to the twin span, and he ended up with a box full of sheephead. He had 27 sheephead, and some of those things looked like they were 8 pounds. He had some redfish mixed in with them, and he had some flounder mixed in with them that were good size. And myself, after striking out on the North Shore, I decided before it gets too late, I need to run down towards the wall. So I jumped in the intercoastal waterway and started making my way down towards the wall, and there was a big flock of birds, and I followed those birds for probably 2 hours and ended up with right at 60 fish. I had, 43 speckled trout, 13 white trout, 3 redfish, and 1 flounder. So the birds saved me yesterday, and lots of those trout and redfish had handfuls of shrimp in their stomachs when I cleaned them. So there are shrimp in Lake Pontchartrain. That water was being pushed out by the north wind, and it was making its way through the intercoastal waterway, and the birds were intercepting them. And I just got lucky as far as I'm concerned yesterday, but I'd rather be lucky than good.
Robbie Campo was talking earlier this morning about, you know, the Biloxi Marsh, Shell Beach area, how many throwbacks there are and how many small under 12-inch trout are being caught. And you and I experienced the same thing, and I don't know how many you had to catch to keep those 43 speckled trout that you did. I would imagine you probably had to catch 60 or more to get those. But the point is, I think people really need to take care in releasing those fish and with as minimal contact and damage as they can, because that's going to be your next year and the year after this crop for sure.
That's correct. If you can get a rubber-coated net, that's going to help keep the slime on the fish. And you also do not want to handle the fish with a rag, which you see a lot of people do. And I know the slime is aggravating. It's hard to operate your reel with slimy fingers, but for the health of our fishery, you want to release that fish unharmed and then wipe your hands off or use one of those just grab it glove type of things. Real good for the fishery. It's a little bit of an inconvenience for us, but it's certainly going to be worth the time in the future when our fishery's back on its way.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that towel on the fish removes the slime, and without that slime, that fish is gone. It makes it susceptible to disease and other things. It's a protective coating is what it has, and I like the way you do it. You keep the rag there for the hands, not for the fish, and that's some great advice, and we need to do that in order to keep our fish, you know, on next year's crop going. Well, Mike, anything else you want to add? Where are you headed this morning? Who's your lucky customers? And I do want to let you know our good friend Dutch Prager's tuned in this morning listening to your report.
Well, good. Hello, Dutch. Glad you're listening. The only thing I'd like to add, I got a couple of groups coming in from the Mississippi area. So we're going to head down, see what we see. We're not going to leave till about 7 so we can get an idea of what the water looks like. It's been windy all night, so we want to make sure we're in clean water. But we're going to head down the intercoastal waterway and hopefully come across a flock of birds. If not, we'll make our way to the Mystigo and fish that wall area. That water's going to probably stay clean. The only other thing I would like to add is I want to tell Drew that when I grow up, I want to be like him. I want to be following in my dad and my your footsteps. And the other thing I'd like to tell you is if I'm hunting and I see an elk, well, I'm going to be going to Double D for some sausage.
Yep.
All right. There you go. Thank you for that, Mike. We really appreciate it, my friend. Have a good day, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right. You know Captain Mike, Drew, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, good guy. Good fisherman. Excellent fisherman. All right. We'll be back right after this, and we're going to talk about paddling for you. You ever fish from a kayak? How about a canoe? How about a pirogue? Flatboat?
Yep.
Bay boat?
Yep.
Surface drive?
Yep.
Boy, you got a lot done in 10 years, let me tell you. All right, coming back after this, we got Brendan Bayard joining us with the Paddler's Report, especially for you kayakers, right after this timeout. And the Strokers, also known as the Paddler's Report with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, is a presentation of Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in Mid-City, New Orleans. You'll find them in Baton Rouge, Covington, where they actually do rentals. And they have some of the best kayak fishing models from brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. Look on the website. That's MasseyOutfitters.com, or you'll find them also on Facebook. And Brendan Bayard and Eric Mohabarak are the reporters. Brendan joins us today, and Brendan, looks like we're finally getting caught up on some of these kayak events that have been postponed because of all this bad weather we've had. Today's Bayou Coast Redfish Rumble that's going on. Tell us about how that one's going to work.
So, Don, this is the last regular series event that the club offers for their series. So that way all these tournaments have points, and you can accrue points to become Bayou Coast Angler of the Year. Today's tournament is a 5 redfish CPR event. You use an app called Tourney X, and you take pictures of your fish on a standardized measuring device, upload those fish in this kind of way. Everybody's social distanced and everything, and you just kind of do the tournament that way. Everybody launches at the same time. You submit your catches via the app, and this is kind of the way things have been going this year. We have one more event after this, which is a slam tournament next weekend, and so hopefully we can get back to normal and do good old-fashioned weigh-in tournaments, but for now, this is what we're doing just to be on the safe side, I guess. And then, but fishing's been real good. The tournament today is operating out of Plaquemines Parish and over there in the Point of Shin area. So, you know, guys can choose between the two different areas and go fish to whatever they like. But, you know, with this wind, I think, you know, today people are just kind of picking the area that, you know, probably is protected the most and getting out there.
Yeah, I want to remind people that if they are not a member and they would like to find out information, bckfc.org. You can find out about the organization, how to join, and also to sign up for some of their competitions, which is offering this year a Hobie 360 kayak, which is no slouch. Enough about tournament activities. Let's talk about, you did some fishing a couple times this week. Tell us where you went and what you found.
I went to Leeville and also went to Fouchon. Leeville was pretty slow, only caught a few trout. Didn't get there until the afternoon, but the water was really, really high, pretty dirty. We kind of cut our losses. We were in winds, you know, almost 25 miles an hour. So we kind of, it was kind of one of those days where you're on the way down to go fishing the next morning, but you got there with, you know, 2 hours to spare. So you're like, oh, let me give it a shot. And against better judgment, I went out in some water that was a little too rough. And, you know, it's you never know till you go, but it was not good. The next day, to my surprise, we went and I used the kind of the roads that are down old LA-1 to kind of be a buffer against the wind. The wind was still there, but if you use those roads to your advantage to kind of block the prevailing, you know, wind direction, you can usually get some calming and some clarity benefits from it. And we picked a little area that was kind of like an armpit, if you will, nestled into the wind direction. Got out there, the water was high, but the water was clean, and we caught a whole lot of trout. The bite was all day long from the time we went in till after lunch, and we got back in. The fish never stopped biting all day long. I usually like to target trout when the water is really up, and it was certainly up when we went. It was probably about a foot high. There was lots of shrimps and, you know, hopping all over. I said shrimps. Talking to my little kids too much, I guess. They were cast netting and they were having a great time catching some shrimp, you know, off the little bulkheads and stuff that we pulled over on the side of the road. They caught plenty of those, you know, but you didn't really need to use them. We were using corks with shrimp imitations, topwaters, tight lining plastics, and we caught all kinds of fish. The redfish, you know, when the tide is flooded like that, I usually tend to focus on fish that are in deeper water and or on islands so that they don't penetrate that kind of that soft edge of flooded marsh grass, because those fish, if you get into duck ponds, can really get out of range and way up in the reeds. So I like to fish islands or deeper water structures. Caught a few reds, but you know, again, when the tide's real flooded, it's really hard to get into some really good red fishing unless you're fishing deeper waters. But found some nice ones, came home with probably, you know, almost 40 trout. So we did pretty good.
Yeah, that's one of the fun things about fishing, is when you get those challenges that Mother Nature provides, how to overcome them and still have a great day. And it sounds like you certainly mastered that. Well, next time we talk, you're going to be on day two of the IFA Kayak Championship. Good luck on that. Before you go, tell us about the Fish Pick event that Massey's puts on, how that works.
So the Fish Pick event, we have different categories throughout you know, saltwater, freshwater for all the club members. We have ladies division, kids division, fly fishing division. So you just go over to a Massey's location. I think they have maybe four or so of their storefronts, and they'll give you a token, and you use that token to put, you know, next to your fish on your standardized measuring ruler. Take a picture of the fish, submit it. And at the end of the year, you know, we might have a prize for kids' biggest speckled trout or second place redfish, first place redfish. You know, you can accrue points together, but there's all kinds of prizes. I think they give away, like, kayaks and gift certificates and prizes. So that's something you can be doing all year long. Thanks to the good folks at Massey's, they put up all this sponsorship and the tokens for us. And so if you're going out in the middle of the week, you go on, just take a little fun trip, you can bring along that Massey's token, and you never know what you're gonna find pulling out, and take a picture of that and reap a nice little reward with the Bayou Coast Club.
Absolutely. All right. Well, they can find out all the information and pick up that token at any Massey's location. Thanks for the report, Brendan. Really appreciate it, my friend, and good luck on your IFA tournament.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All righty, Brendan Bayard with the Paddler's Report. All right, coming up next, you know what time it is, Bad Boys time. This time we got a team called Team Bad Boys, three of Oil's Parish men and one Tuscaloosa, Alabama guy. Got their story next, right here on The Outdoors with Don and Drew Dubuque Radio Network. And we have a co-host this morning. Drew Dubuque is with us. Before we head over to Alabama for our afternoon dove hunt, and Drew, we got some text messages. This one says, Drew, I'm 50 years old and new to fishing. Where's your favorite place to fish from shore? Please, I'm getting skunked on a regular basis.
The public pier in Slidell.
Yeah, that would be a good place where you can try. If you go to Grand Isle, you can fish in the surf down there. But you know the thing I want to tell him and other folks like him that fish from the bank, it's not so much about the place, you know, because fish are pretty much everywhere. You got to get the right conditions.
Right.
You know, when you fish a lot of pier fishing, you caught your record fish off of a pier. If the water's crashing and it's dirty and windy,
right,
you're not going to catch fish. But in a boat, you can move around and find different places. But when you're mm-hmm. limited to the bank, you got to deal with what you got. So you picking your days and your times is just as important as where you go. Hope that helps. All right, what's the next one?
Two trips to Little Lake. Lafitte this past week, W42 and 44 specks with hardly any throwbacks. Good to see the trout moving in.
Yeah, well, if he didn't have hardly any throwbacks, that's you know, he found some good trout right there. And the next one?
Good morning, Don and Drew. As always, we love your show here at the shop. Drew, you are doing a great job. Keep it up, the Irish.
C-A. All right, here's another one. It says, good morning, Don and Drew. Love the show. That would be a catchy name. Don and Drew Outdoors. bass fished the East Pearl the other day, done pretty good. They have a Wednesday evening tournament on the East Pearl, inviting everyone to come out and fish it. That's from Joshua. All right, we got more texts. We'll get to those a little later, but right now we got to pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are right before this Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Stay with us. Well, our team Bad Boys consists of three of Oils Parish men and one Tuscaloosa, Alabama guy. They were sighted by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents Corporal James Bruce, Sergeant Gabe Guidry, Sergeant Randy Lanoue, and Lieutenant John Volentine, with assistance from the Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries Enforcement Division. The case began back on September 21st, resulting from a tip about illegal gator hunting on Grand Lake Rod and Gun Club in Avoyelles. Agents obtained video evidence of the subjects hunting alligators and cutting the line of a hooked alligator. Possessing the club's tags was Fred Dozat, who admitted to the violation, cutting the line of a hooked gator without harvesting it. A check of the club's records found that Stephen Richey harvested two alligators, Brandon Scott one alligator, and William Ackerlard three alligators during the 2020 season, none of which had licenses. As a result, the agent seized all of the club's unused tags for the remainder of the 2020 season, and additionally, if convicted, each is ordered to pay a criminal fine of up to $1,450, a possible 120 days in jail, a civil restitution of $375.80 for 35-year-old Brandon Scott of Cottonport and 73-year-old Fred Dozat of Marksville, $751.60 for 59-year-old Stephen Richey of Evergreen, and $1,127.40 for 21-year-old William Ackerlard of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, our Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Now, Drew, you don't want to get in that kind of trouble, do you?
Nope.
You got to obey all about the laws of wildlife and fisheries for sure. Yeah. Even when nobody's watching.
Yep.
All right, we come back after this. We're going to check in with Captain Ryan Lambert, get you a Plaquemines Parish fishing report. Also, maybe tell us a little bit about what kind of ducks may be arriving on these frontal systems we're getting in here now in the Gulf Coast. We're back with it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque and Drew Dubuque Radio. Drew, you know why we call Captain Ryan Lambert the Plastic Man?
Because he likes fishing with plastic.
Good guess. Good guess. He sure does. You fish with plastic or you fish with live bait? Which do you prefer?
Plastic.
But you will use live bait.
Yeah, I do use live bait,
I got
too.
You. All right, let's talk to Captain Ryan.
Don't give in. Don't give in, Drew. Don't fall for that, buddy.
Oh, look, he's going to do whatever's necessary. Don't fall for that plastic-only stuff. You know, if you need to
today
put some
would be a
sticky
good day
bait
to
on
have
there,
bait.
Put it on.
Yeah, today wouldn't be a bad day to have bait.
No, but you're right. Exactly right. Well, what's going on down there?
Oh, 10 boats are running out. I'm going west. Everybody else went east where they can hide in the canals. I'm going for the gusto. I'm gonna go west and see if I find some trout and some bull reds and that kind of stuff. The beach will be lee shore, so I'm gonna head out to the beach. I think that way I'll have a lee shore all day. And it's not gusting; it's blowing hard. You know, probably about 15 to 20, but it doesn't have those big gusts in it. So I think we'll be fine.
Well, the downside of going on the west side is you're not going to get to watch all those pretty ducks that are arriving with this front. You know.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, but whether or not they'll stay is the key. And they were all in one spot yesterday when the boys went. They had one pond. It must have had grass, so they had a ton of birds in that one pond, and then doing none anywhere else. So it's gonna be a trying season. But you know, if it's cold, they're not calling for a lot of cold up north this year because some El Nino. But who knows? Only the good Lord knows if it's gonna freeze them out or not. So we'll just take what comes and hunt them hard. And then go fishing after, that's all. Drew, you gonna come hunting with us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
he doesn't
right.
like duck hunting. He doesn't like duck hunting. He loves
we're not
it,
make
let me
it
tell you.
Water and all that. Oh yeah. Well, we do a good hunt. Yeah, you don't have to get your boots wet or nothing.
No, he don't care about getting boots wet. He'll do whatever's necessary. He's like you. He's addicted.
That's because he's not 62.
He's hopeless. Yeah, it's true. That's very true. So the river's at 4.2, holding steady. Tendency probably going to be to drop a little more. What's that going to mean for fishing in and around the river?
Well, the fish are already in this area. Once we get the water cooled off, the bit of algae that's in there is going to drop out. Then it's going to get real clear. the trout really haven't come in here good yet. We're catching some, but not like everyone else. You know, I don't know what the deal is. It's not because of the river. It's just they're just not in here good. And this cold snap might bring them, let that water cool off, and let everything come sliding in. Then we'll be all right. They got them around. I'm gonna find something today. Come high water or not.
Is there any chance that that submerged vegetation that's been damaged from the storm surges could make a little bit of a comeback at all? Or is it done for the year?
No, and it's detrimental for other reasons because, you know, there's so much sediment hanging on that grass. When it dies, it just all goes out in the water, and the water turns kind of brownish for a few days until that settles back down. So, and then you have the fact that it's dying and decaying and it's taking the oxygen out of the water. So it's detrimental for fishing too. Not only ducks but fishing, but it won't come back until next May. When it starts warming up, getting that light penetration through the water, it's a bad deal for us. But it is what it is.
Well, let's hope for some very cold weather up north, and we get some of those hardy divers. You know, we'll take advantage of the redheads and the canvasbacks and the, you know, well, the
that's what I'm that thinking. I think. Next. I'm going to get out in the bays this year, too, if it's bad. You know, I got the bays on both sides of the river that I can hunt. And we can hunt divers, you know, if that's what it comes to. But, you know, you say divers, but if you go far enough out, a lot of the other birds, pintails and gadwalls and widgeons, they're out there, too, you know, because of the pressure. So if you get out there and get a big old raft of decoys, you can kill everything. It's because they're out there. They stay out there all day, and they just fly from spot to spot. And then at night, when the tide comes in, they go back into the marsh and they feed. But being the pressure, it might not be a bad idea to get out there and hunt because you can kill divers and you kill regular puddle ducks as well. So that might be my game plan for some of this year on the days that aren't too rough.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Well, Ryan, if you would, tell people, how's the bookings for the duck hunts? If somebody needs to get a hunt in and, you know, they don't have a lease and they're not into building a blind and make the big investment for a whole season, but they would like to make a hunt or two during the week or during the first or second split, how are your bookings loaded up? And tell them how to get a hold of you if they'd like to check some dates.
We got a lot of it booked up already, but there are some dates in December and a couple in January still left. Maybe around Thanksgiving, and you know they can just go to the website at CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me direct at 504-559-5111. And like you said, it's an easy hunt. Just ankle boots is all you need, just so your feet don't get wet, and that's about it. You don't walk in the mud. I don't care if you're 8 or 80, you can do it.
All right, if you get a call from this guy named Drew and he wants to book a hunt, be careful, because he, believe me, he's a game hog now. He'll jump shoot you. You know, he'll claim birds and everything. I've hunted with the guy
those.
Before.
Yeah, I thought he would take you off your show, so man, you can hunt.
Well, maybe we can arrange that, too.
Yeah, he could take over the show on Saturday, and me and you go hunt on Saturday. He could call us.
Sounds like a plan. He'll be calling me, you know, and I'll be out there. Sounds good. All right, Ryan, good luck to y'all. Hope y'all catch a bunch today, and then we'll catch up with you again next week.
We'll see y'all.
All righty. There he goes, the plastic man. All right, we come back. We're going to wrap it up with some more of these text messages. You still got a few minutes to get one in if you want to text me and Drew. It's 504-260-1870. Do it quick because we're headed pointing the truck to the east. We're headed to Alabama for a dove hunt right after this. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don and Drew Dubuque, Radio Network.
Welcome back to the outdoor show. Let's check our text messages. Morning, Drew. Sounded good this morning. Congrats on your record fish and angler award. What is your favorite bait to use when looking for redfish? Good luck on the hunt afternoon on Uncle Elf and Aunt Journey. Well, my favorite bait's probably shrimp when I'm looking for redfish.
Good choice, because redfish feed not only by sight but by smell. They're kind of a bottom feeder, and they go along the bottom. Yeah, good choice. All right, then we have Wanda Stewart checking in. Hey, Don, Wanda Stewart and the crew are headed out of Cocodrie. It's very windy. They're looking for redfish. Wish us luck. We will indeed wish you luck.
Drew, this is from the Dixie Ranch Hunting Club. You need to come as a quest for the deer hunt. You can bring your sidekick, too.
Well, you're getting some invitations here now. You got a duck hunting invitation. You got a deer hunt with Dixie Ranch. You got a bird hunting invitation. Man, you are doing great this morning. All right, here's a question. Good morning, Don. How was the bank fishing in Hopedale? Well, bank fishing in Hopedale, you're pretty much going to be limited to fishing in the in Bayou Lutry. And it starts to get good as the water temperatures drop. Generally, you're going to catch a lot of redfish, maybe some drum and some sheephead in there. But live bait's going to be the ticket if you're going to be bank fishing in Hopedale. That's from John in New Orleans.
Drew, are you going to take your uncle's place when returned? Keep up the good work? Probably so.
Well, here's the deal now. You got to remember, you're going to be spending a lot of Saturday mornings right here. Now, where are you now on Saturday mornings when you're not taking care of business and your wife and your girlfriends and your school and all that? Where are you on Saturday mornings?
Hunting or fishing?
Well, you got to make that choice. It's a big sacrifice. All right, here's one says, good morning, Don and Drew. Have a great hunt today and a safe trip. I'll keep my eyes open for you when I head to Fairhope this afternoon. David Hubble. I hope we get to see you, David. We're going to be there at the Auburn Extension Service right there in Fairhope hunting some doves, hopefully a successful one. It's going to be, now you're going to have to help Isabel, you know, your 9-year-old cousin. She's never been hunting before. This is going to be her first trip. So you got to kind of tip her off, you being a veteran like you are and all, you know.
Yep.
Well, hopefully we'll have some fun. We'll get some birds out there. All right, we got a few minutes left. If you'd like to text us, it's 504-260-1870. Now, Rick texted us, and he gave us a warning about if you think those doves are fast, wait till they get the wind behind them over there in Alabama. So how far do you lead a duck or a dove when you're shooting at it?
Not that much, but a good little bit.
Depends on
how fast
they're
coming
in.
Right.
If they're floating down, that's the shot I like on a duck when they're starting to try to land and you hit them right before they hit the water and they try to get up, but it's too late. They can't get out of there.
Yep.
Now, doves are tough because you get a lot of high crossing shots on those doves and they're hooked up and you get a wind behind them. They are pretty, pretty fast. Well, let me ask you this. What is your favorite game or fish that you like to eat?
Trout.
You like the speckled trout, and how you like them, just fried or sauteed?
Yeah.
And you know, something else that, you know, you could actually help people out is with cast netting too. You know, I know a lot of people and they just don't like to use a cast net because they don't think they're good at it, and you've got pretty good in a short period of time. What's this trick to throwing a cast net?
It's just like a lot of people throw it different ways, but like if you got to know the size of your net, like don't throw a small net too hard and don't throw a big net too light. Like you got to know like how big it is to throw it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get it to open up nice where you got a nice
spread
wide...
your arms out before you throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you throw it, like grab the other end and like pull it a little bit in the air so that way it spreads out.
That's one of your favorite things to do. I know you like throwing that cast net. It's kind of like one of those grab bags at the fair and the festival. You don't know what you're getting until you pull it in. Huh? It could be anything in there. All right, well, there's a song playing. That means it's time for us to head on out of here. We're going to pack up our stuff. Oh, wait, here you got a good morning from Blank Street. That must be one of your crew over there in Metairie.
Yep.
Boy, you got some listeners, let me tell you. We got to get you back in here again if I can pull you away from the great outdoors where you normally spend your Saturdays. We're going to pack up, be on the road headed east, going to Alabama. You're going to have a lottery dove hunt. Wish us luck. We'll have the results of that coming next week. Charisse and James, and thanks for the update for Hopedale. Hope you share. Thanks for sharing your technique on bass fishing the grass. All that good stuff, Drew. Thanks to y'all for listening. We'll see you again next Saturday morning with another edition of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque and maybe Drew, Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.